Well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. You're not going to get nothing deep this morning. You're not going to get anything you haven't heard before. You're not going to get anything you hadn't ever. It's just something you know. But I'm praying that God will dig into your heart with it, put the spurs to you like God does to me oftentimes. You know, most of us don't have no problems. We don't have no problem, you know, with knowing that this Bible, this King James Bible, is the Word of God. Most of us ain't got no problem with that. We believe it's the Word of God in here. Most of us don't have no problem, you know, maybe even realize that the Bible needs to be rightly divided to be understood. When some of us can't do as good a job as others, but we know that. There's a lot of things about, we know that we ought to attend church and a lot of the basics. But I dare say that most of you, and I know I have a problem with this, and, it's something that you'll find yourself having to deal with and work with, I believe, all your life. And it's found here in Matthew chapter 7. And that is being a doer of the Word of God. Now a lot of times we'll believe it. Or we give mental assent that the Word of God is true. But how much is it like God himself when you read the Bible? I dare say, Brother Paul, if the Lord Jesus Christ was standing right in front of you and said, Paul, I want you to go do such and such today. I doubt very seriously if you would hesitate. You would take off to do it. Do we understand that the Bible is the same as Jesus Christ? It has the same authority. It is eternal. It is perfect. It's complete. We are complete in Him. Well, you're going to be complete in this book too if we hear it and believe it. So understanding the authority of the Word of God and then being willing to do it is where I have a lot of problems. I do some things that the Word of God says, and at one time or another, I do about everything that it says. But I find myself many times, how should I say it, just getting kind of lazy. Just kind of, you know what I mean, just kind of, not following after, not staying with the course always. And that's reason why the Bible says many times it talks about stirring yourself up. And we got to come back into remembrance and remember that we have, that God didn't save us to just, you know, just to be saved. We are His hands, His feet, His arms. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His body. And anything that Jesus Christ does on this earth today, He's going to do it through one of us as believers. And so we want to look at this thing about being doers of the Word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 21 in Matthew. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I talked about rightly dividing the Word of God. This is not talking about works for salvation. Not at all. Matter of fact, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, what is it? Tell us what it is we need to do the will of the Father. And Jesus said, the will of the Father is to believe on me. To trust in me. And there's got to be some, I was talking to a dear brother about repentance here just recently. And we got to repent of this attitude, you know, and because our churches is full of it, that repentance is turning away from dead works. Repentance is turning away from self-righteousness and trusting in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people are out there trying to establish their own righteousness, which is by the law, and not trusting what Jesus Christ has already done for us and fulfilled, and that He kept the law. He kept the law perfectly. And I've been given His righteousness. You can't, you're not, it's impossible for any of us to live up to obedience completely in the law. That's the reason why we had to have a Savior. Jesus Christ came, and I've been given the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept the law on all points. He was totally obedient. He kept it. He always did those things to please the Father. And when I received Christ, I received His righteousness. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, He received my unrighteousness. So, when that Bible's sitting there talking about He that doeth the will of the Father right there, He's not talking about you going out and doing a bunch of do's. Because we got a lot of people do, and that's what they're ending up with. You got a bunch of people following after men, following after works, following after all kinds of things. And what we need to be following is in the footsteps of Christ, realizing He's the only hope that we have. And our trust is in completely in Him. Now, having said that, I still believe that we are to be doers of the Word, but not for our salvation. We're to be doers of the Word because Christ lives in us. And we want to look at some things that Christ has asked us to do. Let me go ahead and finish reading these verses. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name done cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, so it ain't always in what we do. A lot of us, our attitude. I mean, you can come to church. There's a lot of people, a lot of good, what we would call good church members who come to church, never miss church. And when if you ask him, are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah. And you ask them why, and they'll start telling you all the things that they've done. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I come to church. I try. I do this. I do that. I do. And they go, hey, look, if that's what they're trusting, they are workers of iniquity. They're lost in their sins. They're self-righteous. They're just like the publican and the Pharisee. He went up together to pray. And that Pharisee went down, hey, just like he came, lost. He came up there full of his iniquity, and never confessed what he was. A man who was unrighteous before God, needing the righteousness of God. That other guy, he comes up there and said, oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You know what he realized? He committed sins. I dare say he went home and he probably committed more sins. But Jesus said he come down justified because he admitted what he was. He saw what he was, a sinner who needed help. I remember 1984 when Dave Leslie saw that he was a sinner and needed help. I saw God for who he was, righteous. I saw me for what I was. A worm is not low enough. I'm what's underneath the worm. Huh? I'm just simply saying, you know, we need to see that and know what we're trusting. He says right here, and he says, I'll profess him my name. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon, and I know I'm adding to the word of God right here, who built his house upon the rock. And I know that says a rock. Jesus wasn't, he was talking about, you know, a literal rock. But our lives has got to be built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have to be trusting His foundation. We're going to have to be trusting what it is that He has done. And then maybe God can do something with us. Now look over here. He said, and then he found it upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon his own works, his own righteousness, you know, on flesh. And that's basically what that's saying. It says sand, and that's what our lives are. sifting sand. And boy, and it don't take much to erode us, does it? Huh? I mean, think about it. Think about it. Think about it all the time. You know, we start off the week, and before we know it, you know, almost embarrassed to go to God in prayer because of things that's passed by our eyes, passed by our minds, you know, out in this world. Problems we have, and we all got them. We've all got besetting sins. We've all got, you know, weights that we got to fight and deal with every day. And there isn't but one person that can help us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, he said, now he built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these say, see, you know, the thing about being a saved person, you're trusting Christ, you know, I messed up. I did this. I failed. How many of you know somebody, you know that they're saved, but they are not living a Christian life right now? How many of you know people like that? Now, them winds and them storms is beating them and beating them and beating them, and they might be beat out to pieces, but they're on that rock, and there's nothing that's going to be able to destroy that rock that they're upon. They're founded. They're set. They've been placed upon that rock. I like it. I like it. I remember Brother Joe was teaching here one day where he read that verse. It says that all men might have praise of God. I don't care how bad they messed up. They did one thing that was right. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They did the will of the Father, and they're established in that, and God's going to praise them for it. Amen? That's good. I mean, when you feel like, boy, you're melting down, your world's melting down around you, remember, one of these days, God's at least going to praise you for something. Amen? That was a big encouragement in my life when I saw that. Then he goes on, he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth not should be like a foolish man, built his house upon the sand, rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, and it's all because they were not doers of the word of God. They heard it. They even said, Lord, have we not done? And the Lord says, you didn't do what I told you to do. I told you to quit trusting your own self-righteousness and to trust my son and be established upon that rock. But instead, you went on. And I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of saved people that's on that rock. And they're going through storms. The Bible said, many of you sleep. Ain't that in the Bible? When that word sleep, that's talking about physical death. Many are sickly among you. Why? Because they're not doers of the word. They're going their own way. They're doing their own thing. And so they're sickly and they're weak. And buddy, and their house is coming down. Their house is coming down. I don't know when. Maybe God can turn things around. And he can. He can. But we have got to let God do it because we can't, you know. We cannot do it. The Bible says, Jesus himself. Now, you think about this. Jesus, the creator of all things, the one who sent it up far above the heavens and now has created a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness that is ours. He said, We saw that in this past week. The preacher read at it, and he said, in all things, we're the heir of all things. And Jesus sent him up far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And now, so those all things are established for us. They're our inheritance, right? Now, the one who did all this said, he said, I can only do what the Father tells me. He said, of myself, Jesus said, of myself, he said, I can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. The creator of all things said, of myself, I can do nothing. Now, if Jesus Christ took on the form of a man so that we can learn that He could not do anything of himself. How much can we do of ourselves? Huh? I tell you what we can do. We can make a mess out of things. And in my early Christian life, I made a mess of a lot of stuff. And I'm probably still making a mess of a lot of stuff. But there's one thing I do know. If only thing that's going to last is what Christ does in and through me. That's the only thing that's going to last. So, having said that, knowing that, hey, we can't do nothing of ourselves, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need to realize we're to be doers of the word. Jesus said so, but we can't do it. Not in ourselves. So we got to find a way that we can do it. But let's quit before we do that. Let's look at some things that we should obey and do. let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I think this is kind of essential. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 18, I was just talking with somebody, some of my family. We were just kind of looking at this here just recently, and I always get amazed at what this said, because we was talking about wine, and I know that there's a difference between new wine. There's a difference between fermented wine, and Jesus talked about both. Scripture talks about both. It talks about, and it says right here, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Nor wine is not to control us. That's what he said. And I look at that. Now, I look at what that said, and I've often wondered why it goes over and it gives the credentials of the pastor, and the Bible said he's not to be given unto wine. Now, we know that's not new wine. He can drink grape juice. I think it's all right for him to drink grape juice. Wouldn't y'all think so? New wine, I think it'd be okay for him to drink it. But now they said that the qualification for a deacon is not to be given to much wine. And that often kind of struck me as kind of funny. I didn't understand that. Evidently, there was people in the church that was, you know, drinking. So it seemed to be, there wasn't no law that said they couldn't. You know what I mean? Now, whether they should or not, I don't know, but we're not under, only law I know that the church is under is a law of love and liberty. We're not under the Ten Commandments. Because everything in Christ is yea. And you look at the Ten Commandments, it's thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's for the flesh. That's the old man. That's the old man. Thou shalt not. And we're not to be living after the old man. We're to be walking after the Spirit. And in the Spirit, everything is yea. You can have all the love you want. Hey, you can have all the faith you want, all the joy you want, all the peace you want. You can have that, and it's just do it, do it, do it. And if we had spent our time letting the Holy Spirit guide us, we wouldn't have to worry about thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. So, you know, where's the problem? We're not doers of the word. When you get into the thou shalt nots, it's because now you're not doing the word. You know? You're doing after the flesh, and now the thou shalt nots is coming into effect and said, look what you're doing. You know? And you're laying there and you got, and your conscience is defiled. You feel unclean because you've done this or done that. But the Bible said that the law was given for the lawless. But we're under a law. We're under the law of Christ, the law of love and liberty. I guarantee you, Jesus didn't have to have, he had no problem with thou shalt not, because he was always doing the will of the Father. But look at this. It says, be not drunk with wine. In other words, don't let wine be controlling you. Don't let your flesh be controlling you, but we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what you just read was the Spirit of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak into you, they are spirit. He didn't say spiritual. He said, they are spirit. And they are life. So just like the Holy Spirit gives you life, this Bible gives us life. It's spirit. So he said, we're to be filled with the Spirit. We need to fill ourselves up with the Word of God and be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Anybody got an argument yet? If you think I'm out of line, you know, talk with me in a little bit. But we are to take this book then and see what this Bible says. You know, I found over the years, you know, this thing will talk to me. It'll talk to me and it'll show me that I need to make changes. I don't always do them. See, here's my problem. I'm not what? Sometimes I'm not doing. I don't always make the changes that I know I should. I'm just being honest. Any of y'all ever have that problem? Is it just me? That's what I'm trying to say is, you know. These ain't things you don't know. These are things we do know, but why are we, years ago I heard a guy and he was talking about why does the church seem to be going backwards? Why is it we're not reaching out in the world? Paul reached all the known world by foot in his day. Paul and those disciples. Oh, the known world. They took the gospel everywhere. It was in every part of the known world. But now we got all kinds of areas that we know about. We got automobiles. We got airplanes. We got computers. I mean, you can touch people all over the world with a computer, can you not? Telephones. When's the last time you called someone on your telephone and tell them about Jesus? What's our excuse? What's our reason for not getting the gospel? You say, well, I'm getting old. I can't get around. Well, take something from a guy that I heard of. He was a saved, Episcopal priest. Now that's rare. That's rare as hen's teeth. But he was a saved Episcopal priest, and he made it his duty to try to reach somebody every day with the gospel and have them turn to Christ. So I didn't mean he just talked to one person a day about Jesus Christ. He talked to dozens of people every day until God led him to someone who wanted what he had. A saved Episcopal priest now. And he had a heart attack or a stroke or something, and he got debilitated. He couldn't get around anymore. You know what he did, Jim? He had a telephone, and he had a directory. And he picked up and called through that directory about once a month through the whole directory, calling people. Talking to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I don't know if he got a vision and ordered directories from, you know, other cities or whatever. I don't know. But my point is we say it's our duty, you know, to fulfill the Great Commission. And I understand that what I understand about the Great Commission, that's kingdom. That was for the nation of Israel. But I do believe with all my heart that that's a principle that we still ought to be adhering to today, and that's getting the gospel. Because the Bible says we ought to pray for all men. What are we praying for all men for? For their salvation. Well, I kind of feel like this. Ain't there need of praying for somebody if you ain't going to put some words on that prayer from time to time? Make this a principle. Anything you ask God for, be a conduit by which God can answer that prayer. You pray for somebody to be saved, and God speaks to you and says, I want you to go talk to them, you go talk to them. If you talked to them before and you can try to argue with God about it, but make yourself available to be the answer to prayer. You know somebody's got a physical need, huh? Say, and you pray for them. Oh, Lord, help them with a job. Hey, try to help find them a job. Lord, these people are hurting for money right now. Be willing to give. You know? Lord, I want these people to be saved. Be willing to try to reach them with salvation. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God, let the words of God enter us and move us, control us, and tell us what to do. Be obedient to it like it is what it is. The Word of God is God's Word to us, showing us and telling us what to do. Look at, so being filled with the Spirit. Look in chapter 4. In verses 22. Here's some things we are to do. Put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Any of y'all ever have problems with that? Deceitful lusts? You know, we're encouraged to be obedient and to put this off. Look in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And what's going to do that? Being filled with the Spirit, the Word of God. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These are things that the Word of God we're to be doers of. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And we don't have a problem with this next one. Be ye angry. But are we angry the right way? We get angry about stuff that's going on. For example, here's one. I'm being honest because I'm angry about, how many of you are angry about the homosexual agenda? But are you angry the right way? Are you angry because what it's doing to them? Are you angry because how it's hurting them and destroying them? Or are you angry and don't like them? Hate them even. I think the Bible still says we're to love everybody. Do good unto how many men? All. See, we got to be doers of the Word. Not just hearers only. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Boy, I used to bother me. The Bible said we're going to give an account for every idle word. Man, I wish there was some way, Brother Ernie, I could have that posted right up on my eyes. Every time my mouth opens, I could see that. Learn to shut my mouth. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in to the day of redemption. Oh, I missed some. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, don't steal from your boss man. You get a day's wage, give a day's work. Don't be a thief. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, if you're doing any of these things or not doing any of these things, we're grieving the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, hath forgiven you. I've heard people take, and again, people take the word of God and just throw it out like hand grenades, you know, and they'll say, you know, except you forgive, neither shall you be forgiven. That's kingdom law. They were under law. Right here it said we are to forgive as we are already forgiven. You say, what if I don't forgive? What do you think Christ is? You think he's going to take his forgiveness back away from you? No, you're forgiven. Let that settle in. How does that make you feel when you're not being forgiving? When you're hanging on to stuff, oh, hurtful things, got that bitterness in you, eating you up. Forgive, as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. We are to forgive people for Christ's sake, for the Father's sake, because he's forgiven us. Did we deserve forgiveness? No. He did it because he loves. Now, and so look in 5:1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God as a sweet smelling savor. Then he gives a whole list of things that are not to be named among us. But that ain't what... You know, if we'll do what God told us to do, you don't have to worry about those things. They'll fall off. But I tell you what, thankfulness, it goes a long ways. When you're thankful to God, and that's something you got to work at. You got to be a doer of. I heard a guy one time, and he was walking around. Thank you for this podium. Holding my stuff up here, you know, and I don't have to try to. And thank you for these chairs so I got a place to rest. Lord, thank you for that. And thank you for that wall that's keeping them bugs and critters out there and mosquitoes and stuff in them bushes, keep them from biting me. Thank you for that air conditioner that's running, you know, try to keep me cool. But, you know, I never forget years ago hearing Brother Ed saying this, and boy, it smote me down. Thankful for nothing. We go through our days, it was like a hog eating acorns. He's not one time looking up to see where they're coming from. And that's, if we're not careful, that's the way we'll be. All the things that we enjoy, the forgiveness, the love, the kindness that God supplies for us, and we don't take it into account and thankful for. And you get a thankful heart, yeah, you'll be easier on a lot of people. You'll be more forgiving. You'll be able to do a lot of these things. Let's look on Philippians right quick. Let's move, because I don't want to get bogged down here, but I want to look here at Philippians, a couple things. It'd be good for us to be doers of them. Philippians 2:6. It says, 2 verses 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. Now, we're not going to be Jesus, but he told us right here that we're let the mind of Jesus Christ be in us. I hope in a little bit, when we walk into the auditorium, and boy, when people get up to sing, I hope, you know, they're being controlled by the Spirit of God. That they're actually, you know, letting God flow through them, doing the will of God. I hope when the pastor stands up to speak, I love Brother Anthony, but I'm not interested in what Brother Anthony's got to say. I love him, but I'm not interested in what he's got to say. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. That's what I want to hear. I desire to hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as Brother Anthony yields himself and says, the mind of Christ. Let it be the words of God that proceeds out of my mouth. And not what I think about the Word of God. Not what I used to do when I teach or preach. I'd go to the Bible and find a subject where I thought, man, you know, I could, you know, really let them have it and build a sermon around, you know, some of my thoughts. Go hunt up the Scriptures to support what I already believed about something. No, I don't want that. I want God to speak to us this morning, don't y'all? He will. It's right there in the Scriptures. It's right there in Romans chapter 16 in the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. So in letting this mind be in us, and look at down here in look in 3 verses 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now look at this, and then he gives us a beware. You know what's going to happen when you start to rejoice in the things that God has done and start having that joy? Look what comes right after that. But beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Because when we start to rejoice in the things of God and we start to have joy in the Lord, hey, the devil's sending the dogs after you. He's going to try to get that out of you. He's going to send them dogs to try to chew at and tear that out of your life. He's going to send them wicked birds to peck at your eyes and claw at your hair. You're going to get up in the morning, boy, you're feeling full of joy and get out there on the road and somebody's going to cut you off. Somebody's going to get behind you, blow the horn because you didn't take off quite fast enough. Somebody's going to flip you off. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to do something. Huh? Because the devil wants your mind. But let this mind be in you, which is on Christ Jesus. But the devil wants your mind. And he's going to send some dogs after you. You start letting that mind of Christ dwell in you, and you start, you know, trying to yield to those things. They're coming. I'm running out of time. But let me go back, and it's where I want to finish up. I ain't got time to go back and do the Scripture work for it and all. You can't do this. That's where I want to end up. This is not something that you can do of your own. Like Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, so what do we do? Find a time to meet with him. Tell him, I can't do this. I need your help. And all through the day. When you mess up, tell him, God, admit it. I messed up. God, I need your help. No, just realize that. And God. And if you'll do that, you'll find yourself, I ain't saying you'll be walking perfect, but we'll find ourselves more apt to be doing the Word of God. And God didn't save us not to work, not to do works, but just we're not to work for our salvation. It's plain, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that, the faith is not of yourself, it's the faith of Christ that saves us. It's the faith of Christ, not your faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Hey, if it was your faith, then you would have walked up Calvary's Mountain. But it was the faith of Christ. He walked up Calvary's Mountain. He died for us. But notice this, He has given us faith, the faith of the Word of God, the faith of Jesus Christ in us to teach us the Word of God and the faith that we can build up our faith and God say, here's some things you can do. You ain't never done them before, God. He said, but I've asked you to do it. Will you do it? That's faith. And you go out. Not by works of righteousness we have done according to His mercy. He saves us, but we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship. He'll work on us so that we can do the works of God and men can see Christ in us and glorify God, which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,